Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have with us Dave Valentine, who's the CEO, speaker, business coach, and strategist. Dave, welcome to the program.
Oh, Mike, I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me on, brother.
You know, I glanced at your bio, you know, owning 8 businesses, generating over $1 billion. I think you've got something to say, especially when you can help businesses scale. So, you know, I say that because when I do some presentations, I have a PowerPoint slide that I make this point of. And I put up this picture and I say, hey, about 6 months ago, I took a screenshot of my Facebook, and here is an actual ad that says, I can help your business scale to 7 figures. And it's this guy, I have no clue who it is, and even in the screenshot, I didn't even have his name, but he looks like he's about 14 years old, and he's wearing a tank top standing on the beach. And I'm going, would you trust this guy? And then you juxtaposition that statement to here is you owning 8 businesses, generated $1 billion for 1,000 clients. Yeah, I think that let's have a listen to what you have to say. So all of that intro to say, give us a little bit of your background and your entrepreneurial journey, and then let's have a fun conversation.
Yeah. So I, you know, as a kid, I started my entrepreneurial journey young. When I was 4 years old, I sold a 4-year-old drawing. You know, it was just me drawing the picture. I sold it for $40 to some family friends, which, you know, in the late 80s is a lot of money.
Yeah.
And then when I was coming up in elementary school, I sold candy out of my backpack and pens and pencils. And I had a nice little business from like 10 to 13 doing that. Owned a lawn care company for a while. And then my first real grown-up business, I started at the age of 25. And it was a catch-all digital advertising agency. I had grown up really at the age of 18. I was one of those guys that just wanted to get to work. And so I took an internship when I was still a senior in high school, doing marketing in-house, and built out websites, ran our Friendster and MySpace. That dates me quite a lot with my junior staff members. And doing video editing and production. That was really how I cut my teeth. And I continued to do that sort of work up until I was 25. And then I just kind of started to realize, you know, I think I'd engaged with some agencies in my in-house positions. I thought, you know, I really think I could do this better. So I really didn't know what I was doing. I'd never sold a client before, had no idea how to run a business. But like most people, I took the leap. And of course, a month and a half before we officially launched the first business, my wife and I found out that we were pregnant with our first child. So then it was like, hey, now we have to make this thing really work.
Yeah.
So built up the first business and got to the point where at the age of 29, we were doing about $1 million in revenue. And, you know, most people don't realize it, but only 7% of companies in the country do $1 million in revenue every year. So I was like, hey, I've achieved it. I've hit the goal. My loving wife said, hey, you're knocking on 30. Maybe it's time for you to go get a physical at the doctor. So I dutifully went, and the doctor did a number of tests, did a stress test, and came back the next week. And he said, hey, Dave, how do you know when you're going to have a heart attack? And I go, I don't understand the question, doc. He goes, you don't know. You just have one. And you're the most stressed out person we've ever tested at 29 out of 4,500 people. He goes, if you don't change your actions, you are going to not see 40. So that was a wake-up call.
Yeah.
I had this really successful business. It was going great. And I realized I was killing myself at the same time. So I started working on getting out of that business 3.5 years ago. I sold that first business. And since then, I've started 4 businesses and I've bought 4 others. And so really our goal is to help businesses grow. That's what all of my companies are really about, is helping people increase their revenue. The only one that's an outlier, which is a fun one to talk about, Mike, is the flight school that I own with my brother, which is helping people get their pilot certification so they can go to the airlines and make money there. And we grow our companies really fast because we've come up with some good strategies and solutions that are repeatable processes for people that, you know, through my own experience. I eat my own dog food. I drink my own Kool-Aid. Six of our eight companies that we own right now are doing seven figures plus, and a couple of them have gone from zero to seven figures in just 2022 alone. So wow. This stuff really works. It's super fun.
And what I want to unpack with that is scaling is kind of like the little buzzword and like, okay, who wants to scale to whatever? And we get that. But you're like scaling with sanity. You're scaling, you're doing it and you're teaching people how to do it where you're not burning the candle at both ends and working 19 hours a day. And you're doing it where you're actually keeping things in balance. What do you say is one of the top things that you have to do to scale with sanity like that?
Yeah, I think that there's two things that have really changed the ball game for me in that space, Mike. So one is, I have really great operators at each of the companies, right? Like we underestimate the power of someone that can manage and steer the ship when you're not there. They are worth their weight in gold. I mean, really, if you find a great operator, hold on to them, pay them well, incentivize them with everything that you can, they will bring you sanity. And too many entrepreneurs and business owners, they're not actually business owners. They are entrepreneurs who have traded one boss for 30 bosses.
Yeah, and they still have a job.
Right. And it's like, man, no, that's not what you want. You know? Yeah. So number one is you got to find that great operator. Number two, we have to have processes that fit what I call the SAR method. So simple, actionable, and repeatable, right? So do we have processes that are really simple, very clear, that are also actionable? So a person, anyone can come in, they can understand it, they can take action, and then are repeatable. Can they repeat that process? So you have to have these processes, procedures, standard operating procedures that are going to help people then operate as well. If you're able to create those two, again, have that operator and then create, you know, simple, actionable, repeatable processes, you're going to be able to have a business that you can step away from. You can spend 2 to 4 hours a week working on it, and you can enjoy other things about life.
Have you ever read the book Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller?
Oh, yeah. I've followed Donald Miller his whole career. So, yes, I'm very familiar with Story Brand.
Love it. Love it. One of the things I remember him saying in a webinar, I think he did, he said, I forget whether he said he did this or he knows that if he did this, it would be a home run. But basically, he goes, after working with so many businesses, looking at their websites, I know that I could go in and buy the company and 3x sales by doing one thing. And people are, I'm sure, like sitting on their edge of their seat going, what, Donald, what? And he goes, put a dumb buy now button on their website and have a clear call to action to buy. He goes, so many companies don't have a clear, here's the next step, do this, buy this. And that kind of goes along with your standard operating procedures. If you can keep things simple and you say, here's good to go from beginning to sale or increase revenue or scaling the business, keep it really, really simple. And I just love that concept of having, you know, SOPs. And I think that kind of becomes a buzzword. But when you start working with a client, what is the first step that you would tell them to go, okay, you know all this stuff in your head, but what if you drop dead? You need to have someone that can just pick up the baton and replicate what you're doing. What's the first step that you advise them to do?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing is to sit down and actually evaluate what it is that you're doing as the owner operator, as the entrepreneur, right? Too often we're like, well, I just do a lot. And so one of the things that I talk a lot about, Mike, is I'm like, you don't want to be busy. And that's what I hear a lot from entrepreneurs and business owners. They're like, I'm just so busy, Dave. Dave, I'm so busy. I'm like, no, busy is haphazard. Busy is reactionary. Busy is prioritizing the urgent over the important. What you want to be is focused. Now, focused, you can say, I don't have time to do that because I'm focusing on these things. That being said, as owner operators, especially when you're brand new, what are you doing? You're the janitor, you're the bookkeeper, you're the marketing guy, you're the sales lady, like you're everything to everyone. And at some point, as you start to build out your company, you have to start to detail out, okay, what are the things that I am doing that I could give to someone else? What are things that only I can do? And there are things that only the owner operator can do. And it changes as you scale as well. You know, one of the things that I remember doing early on, Mike, was challenging client conversations were things that I always took on. If the client had an issue, if the client had a question, if they had a big idea, there were things that I was always in. and they were a drain to me.
Yeah.
And so what I started,
the highest and best use of your time at that point.
Bingo, bingo. And so instead it was like, okay, when I build these new businesses, when I sold that first one and I started these new ones, bought into these new ones, I'm like, okay, how can I leverage my time the best, the most effectively, the most efficiently? And it's that old 80-20 rule. There's 20% of what you're doing in your week that's actually leading to 80% of your results. And it's a question that I pose to the leaders of each of my businesses all the time. Hey, what's that 20%? What are the things that you're doing that are just yielding high-end results for our clients, for our staff? And it's fascinating, brother. Whenever they come back to me, they're like, you know, I think it's when I just ask these questions of our people. I think it's when I have this one strategic meeting once a week. Yeah. That's really the 20%, and it's getting us a lot of results. And it's really interesting to see people's mindsets shift as they start to understand, oh, wow, there's actually more that I can get out of my time. There's more that I can get out of who I am as a person if I just start to look at this and go, what's the best leverage of who I am?
So have you ever heard this before? It's kind of like either a tongue-in-cheek comment or actually true. 50% of my advertising works like gangbusters. I just don't know which 50% it is, right? So, yes. So yeah. You know, the 80-20, that sounds all good. You know, hey, 20% of what I do brings 80% of the – but what is that 20%? So how does a company – or is that kind of like your, you know, genius talent is coming into a company going, hey, look, you're too close to the forest to see the trees. Let me tell you what your 20% is you should be focused on that's going to bring you the 80%. But do you find that with clients? They're like, I'm just running around so crazy being busy. I don't know what the most effective 20% is.
Yeah. So most of the time when I work with people, there is a superpower that I have, Mike, where I just go, hey, you're an operator. You're a product person. You're a marketing guru. You're a sales guy, whatever that is, right?
Yeah.
I can kind of see that because I've seen enough people at this point in my life, in my career, that I see the pattern. So it's one of the ways that I go into purchasing a lot of these companies is I'm really quickly able to identify who is of value to the team and how do they bring that value to the team. So that is a superpower that I have. That being said, the 80-20, for people to figure that out when they're like, okay, well, what is that 20%? A lot of times what it's really looking at is, okay, really, truly, what are things that you can get rid of? I just had this conversation with a leader this week where I said, hey, man, or I guess it was last week. I said, hey, what are you holding on to? And he's got a good sized company. They're doing just under $1 million. They're going to cross $1 million easily next year. And he's still doing invoicing. He's still doing billing. He's still doing accounts payable. He's still doing all these financial things. Yeah. And I was like, brother, listen, I'm going to save you 20 hours a month just by giving this away. And he was like, well, if I give that away, then I don't know. And I said, hang on, time out. You can always ask whoever you put in charge of this to send you an email every day with the information that you want.
30,000 foot overview. Here's the daily summary of. Or weekly, or court, whatever the case is. Yeah.
And so it, a lot of times what it is, Mike, and this is one of the gifts of being an Enneagram 7, if any of your listeners are into the Enneagram 7, which is what I am, is a person that gives people permission. And so a lot of times what people need, Mike, is they just need permission to let go of things. And I really try and get people to say, okay, what are you, it's not that you're the best in the world in it right now. What do you have the natural proclivity to be the best in the world at if you continue down this path for another decade? And let's hone in on that. How quickly can we get you to just doing those things? And the faster that you can get somebody to that point, the better their organizations are going to do. Yeah. And for most entrepreneurs and business owners, they actually get better as the organization gets bigger, not when it's smaller. They struggle to do all the things because it's really hard to be a generalist. So,
you know, I remember many, many years ago going through a coaching program with Building Champions. And the first thing they had me do is for 2 weeks, write down, here's this whole sheet of paper with these 15-minute grids. Write down what you did for the previous 15 minutes. Every day for 2 weeks. And then we get together and we look at it and go, you shouldn't have been doing that. You know, so it's just like what you said. Cause if you were to ask a leader, oh, what do you do things that, that, you know, you don't need to be doing? They're like, nothing. I've got to do it all. But when you really dig in deep and it's like, you really shouldn't be doing this, 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 and this. I think that it's kind of it takes that veil down. So that's a really huge, huge aha. So I love that, granular. Here's what you got to figure out so that you then can drive in the lane that you're doing really, really well. in, you know, and what is it that in your day that you just get so excited about that if you don't really force yourself, you look up at the clock and it's like, shoot, I missed lunch. I've been doing this thing. Whatever that is, keep doing it. And whatever That's the right. thing is that puts the pit in your stomach that you like roll your eyes and keep putting off, that might be a little clue that you need to go bring in some whoever, internal person, external. You know, like for me, it's like, I don't even like numbers and bookie. You just hire someone and do that. So I think that's a really, really big aha. One thing I want to kind of wrap up with here is on your website, you talk about you merge conscious capitalism with an unconventional marketing approach. Talk a little bit about conscious capitalism and what that is.
Yeah. So really it's this idea. There are so many people that think that business is bad. And in some ways, when we take business and we reduce it to spreadsheets and profit and loss, and we remove people from the equation, we really have something that is pretty disgusting, to be honest. So we have to keep in mind that business is inherently created for people. Yeah. And the idea of conscious capitalism is very simple. I realize that as an owner of multiple businesses, I'm going to be fine.
Yeah.
I will always make plenty of money. I've got something that people really want to have. And in that, I realize that part of my gifting that I've been given and cultivated over the years is that it's my job to help the tide rise for all the boats at all the companies that I own. So it's really looking at people and saying, what's the most human loving thing that I can do for them? An example for the largest company this year, inflation's been crazy. Everybody's aware of that. We gave out a 10% inflation raise to anyone that had been with us for 6 months in March of this year. And then we gave them performance raises on top of that. So all in all, for one of my firms, we gave out over $500,000 in raises this year. I didn't take a dollar more. Why? I make plenty of money. I'm fine. I've got diversified assets. However, for a lot of my staff, yeah, they don't have that same thing. So conscious capitalism just saying, hey, listen, we're going to look at this and say there's another human that's on the other side of this, and we deeply care about them.
Yep. Don't get your nose to that grindstone so much that you're just going grind, 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 profit, profit, profit. There needs to be something with, you know, like, you know, very similar to like in a marketing approach. Bob Berg wrote a great book called, you know, The Go-Giver, you know, give value, give service. Give, you know, and then, oh yeah, I do this for a living, and if I can help you, let me know. And at that point, people are viewing you much different than just some pushy salesperson. They want to buy into your crusade, mission, vision, because they like what you're doing. So I teach marketing for some universities, and conscious capitalism comes up very frequently, you know, like the corporate social responsibility, the halo effect. And so I really like how you articulated that.
Thanks. Yeah. For me, the reason why I believe I've been put on this planet is to improve the lives of people. And so however I can do that, and that is one way to do that, I'm going to.
Love it. Well, Dave, let's wrap up with, if someone is interested in learning more about what you do and how you do it, what's the best way they can reach out and connect with you?
Yeah. So I actually would love to give a freebie to your listeners. They can go check out davevalentine.co. That is my website. If you go davevalentine.co/OO, I've actually created an outrageous offer workshop. Outrageous offers are how I grow all of my companies extremely quickly. It's a framework for how to start to think about, hey, how can I help people engage with my company faster? And one of the things that I found that's so fascinating, Mike, is, you know, large corporations, AT&T, Verizon, Dell, Best Buy, you name it, they all have these offers. Costco. They have offers that sound too good to be true, and they actually aren't. They're making those companies money, and yet they're getting people in the door. They're getting people to click onto their website. They're making purchases happen. What's fascinating to me is small businesses haven't taken that up. And so I've started to create these outrageous offers and teaching people how to do it. Normally, I charge $2,500 to come to a 90-minute workshop. I've put together an e-course that's free for your listeners. Go to davevalentine.co/OO to take up that offer. And you can also find me on any social media platform at RealDval, RealDval. I'm super into TikTok, very much active on Instagram, Twitter, you name it. You can find me there.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It was a real pleasure talking with you.
Thanks for having me, Mike.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.